In this session, we're going to focus on curriculum. That's why I want you to have some in your hands. The last session, as we were talking about learning styles, auditory, visual, kinesthetic, tactile, did you kind of get a feel for what your best one is? Okay. If you would stand up for me, please. And Scott, everybody stand up. And Scott, if you would back up a couple of slides right there. This verse, I'm going to read the verse, and if you think you know what your learning style is, when you hear your learning style, your major learning style, you can sit down and we'll move on to session three. 1 John 1:1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Isn't that pretty interesting? That God's reading my notes. I don't think so. I think God had us figured out a long time ago. And that He chose, when He presented the gospel to us, to come at us in every learning style. God's the master teacher. And as teachers today, we have to be conscious of that, to come at our students in every learning style that's available. So that the saying of our LifeLinks curriculum, kind of the overall phrase that drives it is reach everyone you teach. And that's the goal of good teaching. We want to reach everybody in the class. In adult classes, especially in larger churches, you have the ability to kind of pick and choose. If you like lecture, you can find a lecture class. If you like discussion, you can find somebody who's teaching a discussion class. If you're a third grader, you've got to go to third grade class. You got no choice. And whatever that teacher is doing, that's what you got to live with in third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade and right on through. So we really need teachers who are aware that everybody's not the same. And I need to be looking at different learning styles and trying to reach everybody I teach. Okay, Scott, here's where it gets complicated. Start moving forward. Roll them on. Well, tell you what. Back up one more. Well, let me talk about this. Just the natural learning cycle first. That's the basis of both of our lines of curriculum, and it's the basis of just about everybody's good curriculum today. If it's a fairly new curriculum, it has its roots back in this secular training that goes back to 1981 when brain studies were done about left brain, right brain kind of thinking. And the more we learned about the brain and how it works, the more we were able to translate that into education. Started out in public education. And then from that, once we learned that it worked in public education, then Christian educators started trying to take it and figure out how can we make it work in Christian education as well. So it started with Bernice McCarthy at Northwestern University when she developed this format learning system. Okay. And this is kind of the picture of it. And now we're going to roll a few. Keep going. Oh, back up right there. Okay. What you'll see in the curriculum, in the New Life curriculum that you're already using, and in the LifeLinks curriculum as well, there's a four-step teaching cycle that goes with the lesson. And this should apply even if you're writing your own lessons. As adult, if you're teaching adults and whatever material you might be using, you probably want to find a way to incorporate these four steps in your lesson. Okay? Step one, all students need to be motivated. The truth of the matter is, when we come together, everybody's got their own agenda. Everybody is involved in their own conversations. When class starts, people aren't finished talking yet. Kids aren't finished talking. Adults aren't finished talking. They've got their own agenda going. And as a teacher, you have to figure out, how do I round everybody up and get them on board with my lesson? How do I get them out of their stuff and centered on my stuff. So all students need to be motivated to get into the lesson. And in this first step of the lesson, the teacher becomes the motivator. And this step really appeals to the number two folks who are the biggest talkers, who have their own agenda going when they come to class, and they're the hardest people to pull into the lesson because they're not listening to you, they're talking. And if you have many of those number two folks in your class and you don't do something to get the class attention as you start, you'll never have them. They will run away with your class and you will never have their attention. And this is whether they're kids or whatever. If you don't grab them and pull them into the class, if you don't pull them into your lesson, motivate them to get with you, you will lose them. So the purpose of the first step of the lesson is the attention grabber. It's something that we do, something that we say that gets everybody's attention focused toward the lesson. Okay? And this is what it looks like in picture form. Everybody comes to class every week with a hole, with a need. And it's your job as a teacher to point out that need. Some people might not even know that it's there. Some people will feel it. They know it. They're just not sure what it is, not sure what to do with it. But everybody comes in. Nobody's complete in this world. We're all lacking. We're all weak. We all have needs. So everybody comes in with a need, and your job as a teacher in the first step is to say, hey, did you realize you needed this? This is what your problem is. This is where you need to improve. This is why you hurt right there. And so you focus on that hole, that need. Okay? Next slide. Then you move to step two of the lesson. You grab their attention in step one. You pull them on board with you. You show them that they have a need. And then in step two, all students need to learn the facts. And this is what we've been great at in Churches of Christ. I mean, this is our history. We teach facts well. It used to be we were the people of the book. We're not that anymore. Most of our congregations aren't that anymore. We've slipped on this. But this is where we have really been good about getting into the Bible and getting Bible facts out there. That you put us up against just about anybody, we knew more Bible than most of our religious neighbors. Because that's our heritage. That's who we are. And the purpose of this step is to present Bible information for your students. And the teacher becomes the information giver. And we've always been comfortable in step two of the lesson. We've always liked this. It's what we look for in material when we're looking at curriculum. I want it to have lots of Bible facts in it. So this has been our strong point. The students that really enjoy this are the number four people who love the detail, who love to dig in, who love to learn the facts. And I mean, this really hits them. Let's drill. You know, let's dig deep. Give me some more facts. I love detail. Let's play Trivial Pursuit with the Bible, because I mean, any little trivial detail, I got it. I know it, and I love learning more. So it appeals to that number four learner, and the purpose is to study the Word. It's hard to have a Bible class if you're not going to study the Bible. So it's the step that we really get into the Word. And here's the way it's pictured. Number one, we come into class and the teacher says, hey, realize you're missing something? Well, guess what? God's Word has the solution. God's Word can fix that. Let's look at God's Word together. And so you look at God's Word and see what God has to say about whatever that emptiness, whatever that problem you're dealing with is. We go to step three. Step three is all students need to practice. And in this step, the teacher becomes the coach. And this really appeals to our number three folks who are a little bit cautious and you're telling me stuff, and you're saying, hey, you need to start doing this, and I'm thinking, man, I don't like changing. And I'm not sure I want to even risk trying this. So you get a chance to practice it in a safe, controlled environment in the class. And it appeals to those number three folks. And the purpose is to try it out. This new information that I've gotten from God's Word, you know, I'm not sure I want to just jump in and do that. And the teacher will say, well, let's practice it together in a controlled environment. And the way this plays out, let me give you an example of a children's class situation. Say you've got a lesson that's out of the Gospels, and it's one of the places where Jesus does something to help and serve somebody else. And you know, maybe you start out the class with, have you ever been in a time where you needed somebody to help you? And then, you know, that's that whole, yeah, I've been there. I've needed help before. And, you know, tell me about it, and what was the situation, and how did somebody help you? Okay, let's look. Jesus was a helper. Let's look at this Bible story together. And you work through the Bible story, and you find that Jesus was a helper. And that Jesus wants me to be a helper too. So let's have a snack in class this morning. And I've got some juice, and I've got some cookies. And who would be a helper for me this morning and pass a napkin to everybody in class? And who would be a helper and get the cups for me? And who would be a helper and would pass out the cookies? And who would be a helper to bring the trash can over here so people can put their trash in? And, you know, you give them all a chance to practice it in class in a safe environment where everybody succeeds. Everybody participates, everybody succeeds. And it's a practice time in class for them to feel success. Now, the lions, they're risk takers. I mean, they're going to do it anyway. But some of the more cautious kinds of personalities really need this step to give them the confidence to say, hey, I can do this. Okay? And the picture of it is right there in step three. Step one, I've got an emptiness here. Step two, I look at the Bible. Step three, woo, the Bible fits my emptiness. And I tried it and it works. And then we move to step four. Step four, all students need to apply the Bible to their lives. We have been woefully weak in this step. That if we spend our whole class time on getting step two Bible facts, we feel like we've done a good job. If the bell rings when I give my last fact, we say, bingo, I got it out there. But you haven't taught the lesson until you get to some application. And this step is about application. It's about what are we going to do with what we've learned? How do we apply the Bible in our lives? And the teacher becomes an encourager here. And it really appeals to the number one lions. I've got a good friend back in my home congregation who is a surgeon. And he's very involved in Nigerian Christian Hospital. He goes over there two or three times a year, does surgery for free in a clinic in Nigeria that he's connected with. He's been a member of the church all of his life, and he is that lion personality that you know, quit talking about it, do something. And he hates Wednesday night classes. I mean, just absolutely hates Wednesday night. He said, you know, we spend so much time sitting in the pew and sitting in classes and soaking up information. When are we going to get out and do something? So he says, Wednesday night, I'm coming to church, and I'm going to see who wants to go to the nursing home with me tonight during class time. And who would sing with people? Who would pray with some bedridden person in the nursing home? Who would encourage somebody? Let's apply some of what we've been learning. We're not just supposed to sit and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. It's got to go out sometime. So he will not go in a class on Wednesday night. He's going somewhere, and he'll find people to go with him every Wednesday night to do something, to actually apply what he has learned. And he loves step four. He loves that application. Some of us kind of get in a rut where we just like soaking it up and soaking it up and soaking it up and soaking it up. And we're never going to do anything with it. We just enjoy. I enjoy learning. And we get more and more information and we do less and less with it. But step four is intended to get people out and do something with it. I have shifted in my teaching over the years. I've been a pulpit preacher. I've always taught, but I've learned that it's not enough just to give information. That now as I prepare lessons, I always ask the question, so what? Okay, I've done all this research. I've got all this information. I've given you this information. So what? What do you do with it? How do you apply that? What difference does that make in your life besides just having more information? Because I don't think God is that interested in us having lots of information. Final exam to heaven is not an exam, not a question. It's a lifestyle. It's a what have you done with what you've learned. So step four really becomes the important part of the lesson. That once you get the Bible facts, which we've normally done a good job with, what are we going to do with it? How do we apply it? What difference does it make? So I encourage you, whatever level you're teaching, try to be sure you wrap up every lesson with, so what? What difference does it make? What are we going to do? How does this change you? How does this change your attitude? How does it change your actions? What are you going to do with this? And we need to be encouraging whatever students we have in our classes to apply. We haven't been strong in this. And I hope we can pick it up. All right? What I want you to do for the next few minutes is look at the curriculum pieces that you picked up. This is the way the whole picture looks. You can back up to that. Right there. The way the whole picture looks, got an empty spot, step one. Step two, I look at the Word and find out what God says about that. Step three, I practice what God would have me do. Step four, I get out in the world, and man, I'm putting God's Word in there, and I'm gone with it. I'm doing something good with it. It's that action step. Okay, now you go to the next one. As you look at your curriculum, and I'm going to give you just a few minutes to look at it on your own while I'm not talking. But some questions I just want you to kind of be looking for answers to as you're looking at the material. Find an activity that would fit a particular personality type. If you're looking at curriculum and you see that the curriculum says do this with your kids or try this, is that geared toward any particular personality type that would really like doing that? Find an activity that would appeal to a specific learning style. Well, visual learners would really like doing this. Kinesthetic tactile would really love getting their hands on this thing. Or it's a moving around, they love the kinesthetic part. Or, question three, how has this seminar been designed to reach all learners and personalities? And that's the question you've already brought up. What have you seen me do today that leads you to believe that I understand we're not all the same? How have I taught you so that we reach all learners? And then just finally, what qualities do you find interesting or unique in the curriculum, whatever you're looking at? And just take a few minutes. I won't call on anybody. That's something I do in adult classes. I will not call on anybody ever in an adult class. And I know people love to do that, but I refuse to do that for this reason. I would rather ask a question and have somebody think it through and want to respond than me putting them on the spot to make them respond. And I don't mind silence. I can ask a question and I'll wander all over the building waiting for somebody to speak up. And if it takes 5 minutes, I can just shuffle along and just wait. And somebody will speak up in a little bit and somebody will answer the question. Sometimes I didn't ask the question well. I have to reword it and go back again. But when I do, I just wait. And one thing, if we get outsiders coming in, or if you have shy people in your class, even as adults, if I know I can call on you and you and you, if I call on you and you and you, that shy person is sitting there saying, whoa, wonder if he's going to call on me next. Whew, man, I hope not. And you never know for sure. And if you're a guest, you really don't know. You don't know how it works, and it's very intimidating. So I never call on people. That was free. I'm not going to charge you for that one at all. But I won't call on you. You look at your stuff. See if anywhere you want to go with these questions up here. Anything you see, anything you want to share, and we'll just talk about what you see and discuss that a little bit, and we'll wrap it up by noon. So take a few minutes. I'll shut up and let you look. Okay.